This morning we finish up a series that's led us through the months of June and July, summer snapshots. We've thought about what it means to take a snapshot. It captures just a brief moment in time, but that snapshot that you're able to look at for years to come allows you to go back to that space and time and remember what it felt like to be there, to remember the folks who were around you in that picture. Perhaps you could even smell the smells. You could even taste the things that were around you as you look back at that snapshot. So this morning we're going to look at the snapshot of what it means to, for our faith to be evident, for our faith to shine like a star, for the world to look at us. What is the snapshot that the world is seeing? I invite you to hear from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. I'll be reading at verse 12. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Will you hear now God's word? Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of a God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, but even as I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you must be glad and rejoice with me." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength, and our salvation. Amen. Every now and then, I find myself awestruck. Awestruck by the enormity of a star-filled sky. Even when you look with the naked eye out into the wonders of our universe, you're only able to see a small fraction of what is in this enormous world that our God has created. A star is a luminous sphere of plasma. It's held together by its own force of gravity. The nearest star to Earth is the Sun. And there are many other stars like the Sun that are visible to us on Earth. And then there are even more stars that are visible through the help of a telescope or some other fancy scientific object. And then there are even more stars that really circulate all around our universe. We're able to see constellations, groupings of stars together that forms things like the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. We're able to look out into the galaxy that we know as the Milky Way. We've heard of the North Star that was used to guide people way before GPS or Siri or Waze. People used the North Star to navigate their way through life. The vastness of this creation sometimes is just so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming and it makes us feel really small. Really small until we encounter the words from Paul in the book of Philippians, where we are invited to be part of God's masterpiece. We, you and I, are invited to be part of God's universe, and we are invited to shine like stars. In verse 15, we read that we are to shine like stars in the world. It's important perhaps for us to remember that when Paul is writing the book of Philippians, when Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, Paul himself is in prison. Paul himself finds himself in a very dark and lonely place. Paul's in prison for sharing his faith, for shining like a star. And he's imprisoned, and yet he wants to reach out to the church at Philippi that he had helped to found and formulate. He wants to reach out to them to encourage them. One of the problems in the church at Philippi at this time was the fact that they were not a unified body of believers. They were not a unified body of believers. And so Paul is writing this letter, inviting them back towards unity and back towards who it is that God has invited them to be, brothers and sisters in Christ that are unified through the love of God found through a relationship with Christ. And so Paul writes to encourage them to stand strong in their faith. To stand strong in the midst of challenging times where the world that they're living in Philippi is calling them to live apart from one another. Paul says, no, in Christ you are called to be together, to find your unity in Jesus. And when you find that unity in Jesus, then you're invited to shine on a seemingly dark world. You might remember that light images in the Bible are always associated with God. We find these light images from cover to cover in God's word, and light is oftentimes the symbol that is used in the Bible for God. In fact, stars are commonly a reference that we find in the Bible as well. Remember back in the book of Genesis, God promises Abraham that his descendants will be like the stars. They will be numerous like the stars. Those who follow God will be numerous like the stars, says God to Abraham. And then the psalmist writes when the psalmist looks at this vastness of creation, when I see the stars, says the psalmist, what is humankind that I am mindful of them? Who am I? What am I in the midst of this vast and wonderful creation? And then you might remember those magi who traveled from the east and followed the light of a star that landed right over where the Christ child laid to rest. The Gospel of Luke reminds us that Jesus was the star of morning light that came to us from heaven to shine on us through darkness. And now we find in Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the book of Philippians, that we are called to be like stars. Stars that are as numerous as those that are around us and shine as brightly as the light that led the Magi to Jesus. You and I are called to be like stars shining in our world. And when we think about our world, Paul calls it crooked and perverse. Verse 15, it says, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. So it's important, stars, for us to be mindful of our context. For us to be mindful of the context in which we are called to shine like stars. Open up the news feed on your smartphone. And a dark shadow is cast as you look at the crooked and perverse world that we live in. We live in a world where murders, abuse, addiction, theft, adultery, and so on continue to overwhelm us. We encounter a narcissistic, all about me kind of attitude. And those who live among us seem to be doing whatever they can to cheat one another out of opportunities, out of money, out of positions, and out of power. We seek all of this for selfish gain. We want more money so that we can rise quickly to the top and care for ourselves and ourselves alone. A crooked and perverse generation. Now, Paul's generation was just as crooked and perverse. You see, the Greek and Romans were influencing into to the time that the folks were living, and they were calling them to do crooked and perverse things that led them away from the gospel. Here again is why we find Paul reminding them, in this crooked and perverse time that you now live, you are called people of God to shine like stars. And the same is true for us over 2,000 years later. We live in a crooked and perverse generation, and we are called to shine like stars. What is it that Paul offers to us here that might help us to take hold of what it means to shine like a star? First, Paul talks about our faith and our works. In verse 13, he talks about the good things that we do are because of the good that God does in us. The good that God does in us frees us and allows us to do good works for those around us. This is one of the stickiest places in Christian doctrine. If you go back and study Christian doctrine through the years, you'll realize that this whole argument on faith and works, our faith and our works, is part of trying to figure out how salvation happens. Those of us who call ourselves United Methodists join with other Protestants who believe that our salvation rests in our faith and our faith in God alone. Our salvation doesn't come from the good stuff that we do. Our salvation comes from our faith in a God who loves us unconditionally and invites us into a relationship with Him. And once we've accepted that offer for a relationship, then we're freed to do good works. We're freed to do good deeds for those who live around us. In fact, when we've invited God into our hearts, there is absolutely nothing else that we can do but offer good works in return. If we've been so changed internally by a God that loves us unconditionally, then the only thing that we can do in return is to share that kind of love in radical, hospitable, and amazing ways with the world that lives around us. God then is working in our lives. God is working in our lives, allowing us to do good for others. We can only shine like a star because God is within us, and God moves within and through us and out of us, enabling us to twinkle and let our light shine. All the good works, all the things that we do, point others to God. When they're motivated from that God place within us. I remember hearing somebody say one time to a group of us who went on a spring break mission trip in college, "Why would you spend your spring break in college going on a mission trip? Why wouldn't you go to Florida with your friends? Why wouldn't you go to the beach? Why wouldn't you live it up in some sort of way? Why did you waste a week of spring break going on a mission trip?" And I can remember hearing one of my peers say back to this person who was wondering why we did this. The person said, "I could be nowhere else but serving my God." Friends, when we have encountered God in such a radical and amazing and wonderful ways, there is nothing else that we can do but serve God in our world, in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our towns, in our homes. We are called to shine like stars. Lathan read to us that we are called to let our light shine before others so that they may see our good works and be pointed to our God in heaven. We are to let our light shine so that others might see our God through us. The other thing that Paul offers to us about shining like a star speaks to our attitudes, speaks to the way that we interact with each other and the way that we interact with friends and enemies. Paul says, do all things without murmuring and arguing. Murmuring, friends, is that silent grumbling, that human nature part of us that just, that's constantly being critical of everything that's going on around us, that's constantly trying to find fault with someone in front of us or something that's going on. It's murmuring, it's grumbling. And Paul's calling us, if we're going to shine like a star, we've got to quit the murmuring, quit the grumbling, quit the arguing. Paul says these are characteristics of that perverse and crooked generation in which we live. The perverse and crooked generation in which we live is characterized by constantly murmuring, grumbling, and arguing. Our attitudes, Christians, is often the biggest hindrance to church growth. Our attitudes is often the biggest hindrance to churches growing, to churches thriving, to people coming into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. People are looking at us. They're watching how we act, what we do, what we say, and they think, I've heard enough arguing at home. I hear enough grumbling at work. Why in the world would I want to go sit on a pew with those church people if all they do is murmur and grumble as well? Paul calls us, if we're going to shine like a star, we've got to cease the murmuring and grumbling and take on an attitude that builds up each other, that showers down love upon love upon love with those who are around us. For those of you who may have been at Connie's father's funeral yesterday, Connie's son, Justin, one of the twins, shared with me that the verse that describes his grandfather the most was this particular verse. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you are blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars. Justin said that his grandfather's attitude was never one of murmuring or grumbling or arguing, but rather his attitude about life could be summed up in what the family shared was a poem or a writing by Charles Swindoll that says this, and this characterized Connie's father. And Connie's father had shared these words with all of them. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. Attitude is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is that we have a choice every day regarding the attitude that we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in certain ways. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me, and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. And here Paul is calling us to take hold of an attitude that shines like a star, that puts to cease the grumbling and the complaining and the arguing and the negativity that just seems to run rampant all around us, and to put on an attitude of love and grace and mercy, and for all, for God's sake, an attitude of joy. An attitude of joy. We are called to shine like stars. The other thing that Paul offers to us is that in order for us to shine like stars, we must hold fast. Hold fast to God's word. Hold fast to the word that God has supplanted within us. We're called to put God first in our lives. This past week, our family spent time at Walt Disney World. And it was one of the first times that we all had done some of the big roller coasters together. And if any of you have seen our pictures on social media this week, you'll see the picture of what I'm getting ready to describe for you. But we held tightly. We held tightly to the armrests that were around us or in front of us, beside us. We held fast to those armrests as we went down and around and up and down and into water and out of water. We held on fast. Friends, that is the same thing that you and I are invited to do with God's word. We're to hold fast to this. We're to hold fast to our God, to not let go, even in the midst of troubling situations. Those armrests were the places of comfort, the places where our strength came from. Friends, God's word is our place of comfort, our position of strength. And in order to shine like a star in this crooked and perverse generation, we are to hold fast to God's word, putting God and God alone in the first place. So I wonder when our world or the people who live around us, when they look at the snapshot of us, when they look at a snapshot of the church, when they're stargazing, when they're out looking through their telescopes of life, what is it that they see? What do the stars look like to them? Do they see good works? Good works that are done for selfish gain. A wheelchair ramp built just to receive a pat on the back. Or so the other church folks will look at you and say, well done. Or do they see people who are so freed by the love of God that they joyfully embrace any opportunity to serve their neighbor in need? When they look at the snapshot of the church, do they see us fighting and arguing? Do they see us only focused on our theological differences and where we stand on any particular social issue? Is that what they see when they look at us, whether we're on the right or on the left or in the middle, whether we're progressive or we're conservative? Where is that what they see? Or do they see us taking a hold of what John Wesley challenged us? We cannot all think alike, but may we love alike. Do they see us arguing and grumbling over our differences? Or do they see us united in our love for God? When the world looks and does some stargazing at us, do they see us holding fast to our own desires, relying on our own strength? Do they see us holding tightly to our checkbooks and our bank accounts? Do they see us holding tightly to the positions and places of power that we've been put into in this world? Or do they see us kneeling on our knees, holding fast to our God, and serving the least and the last and the lost around us? Friends, we have been called to shine like stars. God is counting on us to shine brightly. The light came into a dark world. The darkness did not overcome it. And I happen to believe the darkness will never overcome it. And yet, we have a responsibility to shine in the midst of it. May the people of Myers Memorial be those who shine like stars. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.